The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. I'm here with Bridget Tegemeyer, Joe Galewski, and Deb Lonser are traveling around the world this week, so we're missing them, but we have you, we hope, for the full show. And we've got a great show lined up for you. Our guest at the bottom of this hour, Dr. Robert Cantu, author of Concussions and Our Kids. He's one of America's leading experts on how to protect athletes and keep sports safe. He is the director of Boston University's, it's the Concussion Center, but it actually is the center that deals with encephalopathy from trauma. So it's Concussion and Trauma Encephalopathy Center at Boston University, or Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy. We also, in the last hour, in the last half hour, the second hour, Dr. Arthur Perry and his subjects, a new wound closure system. Should you ask your doctor to use that on you? Are they due to have fewer, smaller scars or not? It really is a combination of super glue and adhesive tape. But they've combined it into an expensive system that may help you. We're going to find out Dr. Perry's take on that. Also, Bell Otero, a new hyaluronic acid. Is it better than other fillers, and will Dr. Perry use it? We're going to find out from him. Gary Ginsberg comes in at 6:17 Eastern, 5:17 Central, 4:17 Pacific, or whatever time you... And back, by the way, you can listen to us around the world anytime. RadioMD.com, obviously, is available around the world, as is GabRadio.com. But Gary Ginsberg, the favorite one I have that he's going to talk about, is a question we got from one of our listeners. Is memory foam safe, or does it have that smell that it gives off when it's new? Does that mean it's toxic to you? And the second great question that he's dealing with this week is, if your dog gets sick, are you next? What do you think? Do you have a dog, Bridget?
I do not.
You have a cat?
No, I have no cats and no dogs, but we have the neighbor's dogs a lot because I have a younger brother who house it. So currently we have a chocolate lab staying with us for 3 weeks while our neighbors are in Arizona.
Is he safe? Is he sick?
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
She's a little overweight, so we're trying to...
We were very bad. Jennifer, our daughter, Jeffrey, Nancy, and I were very bad pet sitters for our neighbors who went away. We ended up with dead pets a lot.
No,
so we were very bad. Yeah, I even tried to do CPR on one of them. But that's another story. That was on a mouse.
So
CPR on a mouse doesn't work.
So we won't trust you with our pets. That's a good thing to note.
also, the mystery of the off-colored French honey. Is it safe for you? And why was there a male breast cancer cluster in the military, and what does it have to do with Camp Lejeune? That's from Gary Ginsberg at 6:17. Now, our favorite story, we always start off with a favorite story. I've got to tell about, of course, we've got to thank, and I got to thank President Obama yesterday for mentioning the Cleveland Clinic in the debate and how it had great outcomes with lower cost. And then, of course, Romney joined in and collaborated with that. But both of them mentioning the Cleveland Clinic, and the Twitter feeds were going crazy with that mention, at least here in Cleveland. It is a great place for you to stay well. That's what we try and keep with our employees, as well as it's a superb place. I'm constantly blown away by how good the care is. Bridget, your favorite story of the week, though, was on how hunger may breed obesity.
Yes.
That is why hunger causes obesity rather than thinness.
Right, which you would expect. You would expect, I guess, thinking about it, that if you don't have a lot of money, that you, why are you overweight? Because how can you afford food? But it actually, they're finding that a lot of times people that are that don't have as much money are more susceptible to being overweight or obese because they're spending more money on junk food because it's less expensive than eating healthy. And
so what? So the problem with this is, if you will, if you're obese, or if you are hungry rather, and poor, you're, quote, food insecure, so you grab whatever you can, and what is least expensive appears to be the food that is least nutritious.
Right, exactly.
Because they package those sugar bombs. Sugar isn't as expensive, so you can get a Twinkie or whatever you want. What are those things in the toaster poppers or something?
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, they aren't very nutritious.
Not at all.
And they aren't very expensive.
That's true. And they're convenient. They're an easy way to just give your kids breakfast or whatever you're going to use them for, a snack, whatever. But they are less expensive. There's less preparation involved, a little time and effort, easy to store. I mean, those are basically the big benefits of junk food that usually leads people.
And so because of this food insecurity, mm-hmm. and because of the relative lack of knowledge, mm-hmm. that people in the poorer areas, and they don't read the labels, et cetera,
right.
they end up eating food that is worse for them, that is more sugar in it, that
right.
causes more cravings,
right.
and they continually are hungry even though they get obese.
Exactly. And the article that is in our top medical news stories of the week was talking about how one of the big problems that could possibly be contributing to the obesity epidemic is food stamps. And they're actually called SNAP, the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. They're no longer supposed to be called food stamps, but they have found that because people are on food stamps, that it may be leading them to, there's a few theories, but either leading them to spend more of their disposable income on things like home service delivery foods and things like that. Like, they were talking about Randy's Fine Foods in Houston, Texas, where they said that almost 100% of their customers were using their disposable income to have the foods delivered to their house, and they were all food stamp beneficiaries. And this place, this delivery service, all of the foods that they have are Pop-Tarts, Oreos, candy bars, and the only vegetable, get this, Dr. Mike, you'll love this, the only vegetable that they have on the menu is pickles. That's the vegetable.
Pickles?
Pickles, yeah.
Well, pickle is a cucumber, right?
Oh, yeah, I think that would be
and
the same family.
It's a cucumber that's doused in, that resides in vinegar and has onions and some other things. Someone's got to tell me, we've got to look this up on Google, what a pickle is. But it has a lot of salt with it, I
yes,
assume.
Yes, a lot, yeah.
But in any case, the point is that it isn't a concomitant of SNAP or food stamps. We have a program with Dave's here in Cleveland. One of our dietitians, Amy Jameson Patonic, has it, in fact, where 31 days of food that is nutritious, that is marked with the GO label, in fact, and she's got a menu at Dave's, where 31 days of food and you get money back from your WIC or SNAP program so that you can use all your disposable income on healthy things, in fact.
Which is a program that more places throughout the country should maybe pick up.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, as they say. So that was your favorite story of the week. By the way, the real age tip of the week's this week, diet tips for headache relief. We were going to do that last week. I didn't get it in, so we'll get that one in for sure. And then the stand tall for better posture and good health. Those are the tips of the week. As well as now, do you have a second favorite story that we should lead off when we come back from break?
I liked the story about being addicted to your cell phone. I think that's...
Being addicted to your cell phone and how that hinders friendships.
Right. You might end up with no contacts in your cell phone.
No contacts in the cell phone because you're addicted to it. And there is a solution to this, obviously. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can email us at udocs@gmail.com.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
It's just Dr. Mike and Bridget tonight. Bridget, do you know what BPA is found in?
Yeah, cans.
Cans, the liner of cans. Where is it most common, though? I think we got her. She's too young to know this.
What do you mean, where is it most common?
The highest concentration is in the thermal receipts that you get at fast food stores, gas stations, etc. So it's on those receipt papers. And if you look at moms, young moms who obviously have their kids with them, and they go to they have a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, they go to a McDonald's, they get a thermal receipt, they crush it up, they put it in their pocket, then they don't wash their hands first. They open the hamburger for their kid. They touch the hamburger bun with their hand, and they transfer 1,000 times as much BPA as is in any can or baby bottle to the hamburger that their kid is going to eat.
Wow.
You don't absorb BPA through the skin, but when you eat it, you absorb it through your intestinal tract. It turns out that mom's BPA levels are hazardous for the kids. We knew this in utero. It does tend to feminize their kids. Some could say that's good or bad, but it isn't normal, obviously. But there's a new study out that shows that it inhibits the mom's thyroid. Now, the mom's thyroid, that is, the higher the level of BPA in the mom's blood during pregnancy, the lower her thyroid function was. Still in the normal range, but that means that it inhibits the normal brain development of her kids, because your thyroid has to be normal for kids' brain development. So it also inhibited the kids' thyroid level, which probably inhibits their brain function as well. So BPA, bad for brains and maybe very bad in pregnant females.
Wow, yeah, that's scary. I had no idea. Usually when I'm putting my change back in my wallet, I sometimes put the receipt in my mouth. That's really bad, isn't it?
Yes. You put the receipt in your mouth?
Yeah, you know, when you, like, need an extra hand, so you take the receipt, put it in your mouth, and...
Doesn't taste good, does it?
No, it's just like a holding place, temporarily.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'll stop doing that.
Okay. Do you know that BPA is linked to obesity?
Is it?
Yeah, that's what I said. Why would it cause obesity?
Did you find out?
Well, one, it inhibits metabolism if it inhibits the thyroid function. But it also is that it is an estrogenic-like substance that fosters, in fact, weight gain. So that's the message that they gave. It is, and so taking any steps to avoid BPA is, in fact, a good therapy. Now, let's talk about your favorite story. What is the other favorite story?
If you can't make any friends, maybe it's because you're keeping your smartphone on the table, was basically the
study. What do you mean? If you pull your smartphone out of your pocket and put it on the table because you don't want to be distracted by it or have vibrations or have it near your gonads or something, so you don't have the smartphone on you, you have it on a table. Why is that harmful or why is it bad?
So they looked at this in college-aged people and found that keeping your phone on the table with people that were unfamiliar with one another, and then also in the second part of the study, they looked at people that knew each other well. They found that there was serious negativities with keeping your phone on the table.
What do you mean by negativities?
That it made people feel less close to the other person, and that they reported a decreased quality relationship.
A decreased quality of relationship. So
yes.
So what happened? So the cell phone just being there antagonizes the makes people feel like they can't converse. Maybe they think they're being recorded by the cell phone or something.
I don't know if they're worried about that.
I have these two cell phones out now. What do I? I obviously don't pay any attention to them. Do I throw them away? What do I do with them?
Well, I would say.
Do they distract in our conversation?
No, they're not distracting me right now. They looked particularly at half of the couples that were. They told to discuss a meaningful topic about their relationship, and the couples that had the cell phone on the table felt lower trust, empathy, and relationship quality between their partners because they felt that their partner wasn't valuing what they were saying because part of their attention was drawn to their phone.
Ah, so these people weren't talking on the phone. It was just that the phone was on and probably could text or have email.
So if your phone's lighting up and you're constantly checking it, you know, for emails or text messages while you're at dinner with other people or in any kind of social setting, this study found that it can, that they called it bad tech manners.
So what do you do with, if you have bad tech manners? Do you put the phone in a bag and put it behind your back? In other words, how do you handle this?
Well, I mean, I usually just put my phone in my purse if I'm going to dinner. So yeah, I think that would be a good option. They said that you should give your full attention to the people that you're with and avoid taking calls whenever it could disturb others, including in a situation where you're answering your phone in a quiet environment where other people are overhearing your conversation and might be distracted by it.
So basically, among you and your friends, do you, when you have a cell phone in your purse, do you keep it in the purse during dinner? Do you pull it out? Do you put it in a side pocket? How do you handle that? You go out to dinner with kids your age or something, pizza, et cetera?
Sometimes, yeah. I guess I usually keep it in my purse and then
leave it there. What happens if it rings?
I keep my phone on silent all the time. I'm not very good at answering or responding to text messages. My friends complain about that a lot. But some of my friends are obsessed with their phones and can't go 10 minutes without seeing if they have a new text or a new Facebook update or whatever. And they keep their phones right on the table. And it can be very distracting. And I'll be telling stories and they're on their phone and giving an occasional nod. And I'm like, are you listening to me? It's kind of like Kim Kardashian. Do you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
No. Tell me what she does.
She's addicted to her phone. So her sisters tried to steal it from her. And she was really upset by it and basically couldn't live without her phone.
And so what did she do if her sister stole her phone?
Well, she eventually found it. They hid it in her car, and she found it.
Okay, well, let's go to another story. We're going to talk about Dr. Cantu and concussions in a little over 2 minutes when we go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to him. What about obese children being less sensitive to taste?
Oh, this
what
is
does
really
that mean?
Interesting. So they looked at around 200 children, half normal weight and half obese, and they asked the kids to identify intensity of taste and also to distinguish among different tastes like sweet, sour, savory, and they found that obese kids were less likely to identify different tastes.
So the message is that if you want to have that, one of the reasons or one of the things that makes food enjoyable and fulfilling is the amount or apparently the quantity of taste bud stimulation you get.
Right.
And obese kids genetically have less taste bud stimulation. How do you deal with that? And what's the easy way around that is use more spices. And the way I like is use two types of any flavor. So if you're having a pizza, have not only it with tomato sauce, but tomato bits. The combination of the bits and the sauce make each much more dense, much more spicy, much more alive in taste. It's a synergistic effect. It's one of the things we learn in cooking school is that if you have two types, two forms of any one substance, so two forms of tomatoes, that is the tomato bits and the tomato sauce, you get a magnification of taste effects, which in this case suppresses hunger. So that's what we mean by that. And we'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show and Health and Radio MD Network, radiomd.com. Thanks.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom, and I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute, education for the future. 800-574-1319.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
And now back to Dr. Michael Roizen, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike, and we've got the privilege of talking to the clinical professor of neurosurgery, co-director of Boston University's Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy, which means he knows a ton about concussions, and the book is a wonderful book, Concussions in Our Kids, that he wrote. Dr. Robert Cantu, the leading expert on how to protect your kids and you from serious concussions, especially if you do as crazy sports as Bridget does. But anyway, Dr. Cantu, why did we, and I have a bunch of questions that are along the lines of the book, because it's such a good book, and we'll get into what you can do for your kids to have them stop having concussions, but what bothers me, or what's so interesting to me, is when we were young kids, we didn't worry about sports and concussions. Was that just because we didn't understand it, or did we have concussions in those days and just know it, or have we just grown in the last, 45 or 55 years to be so big and much faster that the speed of impact in these sports is much greater now?
Michael, I think it's really the issue is that we've learned over the last 45 years so much more about concussion, so much more about head injury, and not only the short-term but the long-term potential effects of it. So I've been studying and treating patients for over 45 years with concussions, and certainly it's what we've learned in the last 10 to 15 years that has me most concerned.
Now, boxing, you don't even deal with that. When I was growing up, I was taught martial arts and boxing because I'm a small kid and I was picked on, and so my mom and dad taught me how to fight and how to do jiu-jitsu, etc. But you don't even deal with boxing in here to any great degree, and it seems to me it's got to be boxing and mixed martial arts have to be the worst possible sports.
Well, the most serious long-term effect of repetitive head injury is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the progressive neurodegenerative disease that robs us of our intellect, our memory, our judgment, our insight, and also produces a whole host of bad emotional problems like lack of impulse control, depression, paranoia, so on. And that was first described over 80 years ago in boxing. So, yes, it's a given that repetitive head injury seen in boxing is just about the worst. Now, you mentioned mixed martial arts. That's kind of interesting. Unfortunately, there's a lot of head trauma in mixed martial arts, so I'm sure we're going to see chronic traumatic encephalopathy in it. But because the whole body, so to speak, is fair game, there is less trauma to the brain on average in mixed martial arts as compared with boxing, where the head is really the focal point.
Now, let's go to in mixed martial arts, I actually thought they were trying to hit each other in the head, too.
They are, and certainly if you're a striker-type mixed martial artist, that is your objective, and that's how you fight, and that's how you win or lose. But many mixed martial artists come at it from other disciplines, like grappling or wrestling, and coming at it from those disciplines, some of them really don't do much striking.
Now, is wrestling a dangerous sport for concussions also?
They certainly happen, but it's not at the high end of the spectrum. It's not up there with football, soccer, ice hockey, and lacrosse.
And now, have we gotten, not only do we have better knowledge now, but one of the questions that we keep getting asked when we tweet about who's on the show, and we got several questions about whether, one of which was said, why was Gerald Ford able to play football with a leather helmet and not get severely brain damaged? And now we have much better helmets and mouth protectors, double jaw mouth protectors or double-sided mouth protectors. And is it just that the kids, or is a great increase due to the fact that the kids have gotten bigger and faster? He said, when I played halfback, I weighed 165 pounds, and the biggest lineman was 195 pounds.
Well, it is true, unquestionably true, that our athletes today are bigger, stronger, and faster, and work out in the weight room a great deal, and so that extra weight is lean body mass, certainly for the majority of them. Well, the reason that Ford got by with that leather helmet is because even our most modern helmets today in the sport of football do not prevent concussion, because it's the rotational forces, that is the spinning of your head on your neck from a blow often to the face mask, often to the side of the head, that is the most injurious blow. And helmets don't do a very good job of reducing those rotational forces, and mouth guards do almost nothing with regard to that. So helmets and mouth guards are not the answer in terms of preventing concussion.
Now, one of the things that I was told, it's another email. He said mouth guards are supposed to be very important because a lot of concussions happen from blows from below the mouth, apparently.
That sounds like a dentist that probably emailed you on that, and that's not true, because mouth guards have a theoretical area where they can help, and that is a blow taken to the point of the jaw that drives the angle of the jaw up against the base of the skull. The reality is, in helmeted sports with face masks, you can't reach the chin. And even in sports that don't have helmets, it's usually blows to the front and side and back of the head, not a blow to the point of the chin. So mouth guards really have very, very little protective benefit with regard to concussion, if any at all.
Now, you have some great recommendations here, and if we don't get to them now, we'll come back in the second segment. We have a 10-minute segment now and a 8-minute segment that follows it, Dr. Cantu. The book is Concussions and Our Kids, How to Protect Young Athletes and Keep Sports Safe. So Concussions and Our Kids, Cantu is C-A-N-T-U. But one of the questions just came in, I guess because of my boxing question, is he says in the book to ban, if you will, heading for soccer under the age of 14. Would he say that you shouldn't have any boxing, and should we ban it, should we drop it as an Olympic sport?
Well, I don't get into boxing as an Olympic sport because we're talking about adults, and adults, I think, can do what they want to do as long as they understand the risks and society doesn't have a law against it. I do talk a little bit about boxing for our youth, and I simply say I'm not for it, and I'm not for anybody boxing in terms of what they're doing to their brain. I would suggest that even adults, certainly recreationally, don't box. It's fine to do box aerobics. It's great exercise to box against the bag, but I wouldn't want to have your head be struck by somebody else's fist. That's not good for your brain.
Now, you also say, and I guess this is the soccer ball, where we got a bunch of things from, I guess they're soccer moms, but they said should they, in their league, under the age of 14, obviously heading is still going on in high schools, and they say, does this mean we shouldn't have our kids play soccer if they're if the heading isn't banned? In other words, there's no banning of soccer heading.
Well, I certainly do feel strongly, Michael, and we get into it in the book, that heading ought to be banned in soccer under the age of 14. It's in the act of heading that almost all the concussions happen in soccer, and it's not hitting the ball. It's rare that it's a ball that causes a concussion. It almost always is two heads colliding and or the head of one colliding with a forearm or an elbow or a shoulder of somebody else. Soccer is right up there with regard to recognized concussions with football. So
well, when we come back,
it's a high-risk sport for head injury.
When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Robert Cantu, Concussions and Our Children, How to Protect Your Children, Your Child, and we'll also ask why 14 is the magic age. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual-temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community. Businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, Fresh Healthy Vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-226-5454. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking Fresh Healthy Vending franchise today. 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Joe Galewski and Dr. Deb Lonser, and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And you're the real stars. You can email us anytime, questions at udocs, youdocs at gmail.com, youdocs at gmail.com, or call 1-877-711-5211. Sometimes that line is busy, so, and a lot of times it is when we have a guest on, so don't worry, we won't get to you, so it's easier to get the questions answered if you email them to us. Dr. Cantu, Robert C. Cantu, MD. In fact, that's the website. You can find out more about this wonderful book, Robert C. Cantu, MD.com is the website. The book, Concussions in Our Kids. Robert, in the book, you make a number of recommendations of things to avoid under the age of 14, like not playing tackle football, no body checking in hockey, no heading soccer balls, and probably no playing lacrosse. And one of the questions came in, which surprised me. It says, is girls lacrosse safer than boys lacrosse because they don't hit above the shoulders?
Well, the reality is, Michael, I'm very, very pro-sports, and I want all those sports played. I just want them changed. So tackle football goes by the boards under the age of 14, and we substitute flag football, but we still learn the skills of tackling by tackling dummies, not bashing bodies and heads. And in soccer, we want kids to play soccer. We just want them to not head the ball as part of the sport under the age of 14. And in ice hockey, we want them to play. We just don't want full checking, full body checking until the age of 14. It's interesting that the same sports that girls and guys play, like ice hockey, like soccer, like basketball, girls have almost twice as many concussions as guys. We think that's due to the fact that, first, girls are a little bit more honest about reporting symptoms as a group than are guys. But we think the main reason is the girls' necks are much weaker. And so the same force imparted to a girl will have much more injurious effects on the brain. So anybody that's playing a contact collision sport, as we point out in the book, certainly should be working on strengthening their neck muscles.
And what about answering that question we had from the listener or on the email line, which was although I guess you would say that girls in general have more risk, they said, are the rules of girls lacrosse, this is from a mom with a 14-year-old girl playing lacrosse, are the rules from girls lacrosse make it safe enough for her daughter to play? And then we also want to come back to the question about why 14 is the magic age.
Well, I believe very strongly that girls lacrosse and girls field hockey, each of those two sports, almost all the concussions happen because the stick is hitting somebody in the face or on the top of the head. That's how concussions happen in those two sports. I feel very strongly those sports ought to have helmets with face protection. And if you did, you'd eliminate all the concussions in those sports, because whereas helmets do not eliminate rotational forces, they do a great job of reducing focal linear forces, like you would get if you were slammed over the head with a stick. So concussions would go away in those two sports if the girls wore helmets, and I would strongly recommend that helmets be mandated for those two sports.
So we should tell the mom to have her daughter wear a helmet.
Well, unfortunately, she can't do that, because if one girl has a helmet and somebody else doesn't, that's giving them an unfair advantage. And so the leagues don't allow that, and that I completely get. The leaders in the area of lacrosse are concerned that if helmets are put on their players, that they'll play the sport more aggressively. And my answer to that is hold the officials responsible for officiating it correctly, and that won't happen.
Okay, and let's come back to why 14 is a magic age, Robert.
Yeah, it is not really a magic age, and if you look at your child and your young boy doesn't have axillary hair and doesn't have pubic hair at age 14, is obviously behind in their secondary sex characteristics, I have no problem holding them out to 16. But the reason we used 14 is just arbitrarily that's high school, and you have to start at some point learning the sport if you're going to play it at a more advanced level, meaning college. But I have no problem whatsoever if somebody wants to hold their child out even beyond the age of 14. Where I'm really upset is that our very young kids are being allowed to play collision sports like Pop Warner football at age 5. The young brain is not myelinated. That's the coating on the connections between nerve cells. It gives it strength. Young brains have big heads, very weak necks, and that bobblehead doll effect puts the brain at greater risk. And our youngsters tend to have oldest equipment, least experienced coaches. Our youngsters are just put at a greater risk of injury, and our youngsters really rarely have informed consent. They're really not understanding what the issues are.
So there are two more questions I want to get to that have come in on emails. One is, I heard that DHA omega-3, this is from a listener in Buffalo, New York, who said, Dr., I think it's Cappuccino, it's a funny name, who's the orthopod who treated the guy with a spinal injury from the Buffalo Bills, said that everyone who's playing a contact sport under the age of, in fact, of any age, should be taking DHA omega-3. Does that have any role?
It has not been scientifically proven that it will help you recover more rapidly from a concussion and or prevent concussion. But our brains are made of omega-3s and in particular DHA. And so there's absolutely no reason not to take them if you want to.
So there's no side effect from them.
But there's no solid science that says they're going to protect you from a concussion.
And I think we'll have to come back and the person will have to buy your book to get the answer is concussions in our kids. Dr. Robert Cantu, MD, the website, robertcantumd.com, robertccantu.com, robertccantumd.com for the website for the book. It's a wonderful book, an important book if you have kids or grandkids who are thinking about playing or are playing contact sports. Thanks very much, Dr. Cantu.
Thank you for having us, Michael.
Thank you. And now, the Real Age Tip of the Week.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Got a Sweet Tooth, How to End Your Sugar Cravings. Here in Sugar Nation, the average or typical American downs more than 70 pounds. It's the total weight gain of the whole nation, probably. More than 70 pounds of added sugar each year if we eliminated those added sugars and syrups. Sugars are crammed into and hidden in foods you think are good for you. Flavored oatmeal, many yogurts, and fat-free and low-fat salad dressings.